Before I came to National Presbyterian Church, I had to make some plans for preaching this year's Easter season. And not knowing you, not knowing much of anything, it seemed to me simply the wisest possible thing to mine the depths of the Psalter. The Psalms have traditionally been a wellspring for the Presbyterian and Reformed tradition. Last week I was with the 32nd Psalm. This Sunday's lesson is the 121st. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The Lord will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. Well, you see it on the metro and you see it with the American University students walking or jogging by on Nebraska Avenue. They are going somewhere. They're on a journey and they have their earbuds in and their iPods on because they need traveling music. They need a song for the journey. And the Psalter understands this. Within the book of Psalms, there are 15 Psalms bearing the enigmatic superscription, Songs of Ascent. It's not utterly clear what that is intended to mean, but it seems that pilgrims sang on their way to Jerusalem and as they ascended Mount Zion to the temple that was located atop Zion. These psalms were songs for a journey. They were music to help you get around, little traveling music. One of these songs of ascent, the 122nd Psalm, fairly bubbles over with ebullience and excitement. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." And that psalm goes on to give us words to speak here in the house of the Lord. Words with which we may bless each other. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be within you. Peace be within you, we say. We're glad to come to worship in this season of Lent to refresh our blessing. Blessing can be misplaced. Blessing can be pretty beat up and tarnished in this world so enthralled to bitterness and to curse. We remember here that we are called to bless, to be a blessing. It seems easier here being a blessing. Yet what we are called to do here, we are called to do everywhere and at every time. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good, the 122nd Psalm continues. For the sake of the house of the Lord, I will seek your good. And that, of course, is what so many people spend so much time and energy trying to do, to seek the good of the house of the Lord. We try to make the threshold there a place of hospitality. We try to furnish this place so that it can be a place of healing. We try to make the house of the Lord a Bet Midrash, a house of interpretation, where we can deal in deep meanings for human lives, where we can make sense of our living in terms of what God has done and is doing and promises to do. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. And we celebrate that on this Lenten pilgrimage. That's the 122nd Psalm. But the psalm I want to focus our attention on this morning is the 121st Psalm. That is another song of ascent. It's another pilgrim psalm. It provides music for the journey. Christian spirituality has often spoken of the journey of Lent. Lent provides us an opportunity to begin in one place and to end in another. And the Psalter provides us the music. This 121st Psalm, however, is not so ebullient and excited as the 122nd Psalm. It sings a different melody in a different key. The 122nd Psalm anticipates the happy pilgrimage. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." But the 121st Psalm appears to be a song for pilgrims departing on the journey home. The bags are packed with some t-shirts from Jerusalem, a few items from the temple gift shop, and now the pilgrim stands in the door of the temple wondering, where now? Where will my help come from now? I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? I lift up my eyes to the hills. I lift up my eyes to the long road that stretches out in front of me. I lift up my eyes from the linoleum of the examining room floor to hear what the doctor is saying about the tests they ran last week. I lift up my eyes from my desk to see the look on the face of my colleague and to recognize that the depression has returned. I lift up my eyes to my midterms and what it means for my grade point average and my hopes and my plans and my dreams. I lift up my eyes to the stock market and its charting of an uncertain economy. I lift up my eyes to the city streets where people wander unemployed, unfed, unhoused, unblessed. I lift up my eyes to this torn, troubled world where peacemakers are seldom welcomed. I lift up my eyes to the mirror and wonder if I have faith enough, health enough, hope enough, endurance enough to make it one more year. In the door of the temple, the pilgrim stands, weighted down, a briefcase full of papers, reports half read, reports half written, a calendar charting more tasks to be done, and a few books bought in the temple bookshop, one hopeful morning which may, in the busyness back home, never be read. And the pilgrim's heart sinks within, from where will my help come? The journey is long, and the way ahead is fearful. But where now? Where will my help come from? The journey of Lent is a journey home. But where is that? And how do you get there? The pilgrim seems alone. And that question, from where will my help come, echoes a deep loneliness. But the pilgrim is not alone. A priest stands alongside there on the threshold of the temple. This is a psalm for two voices. It's a duet for faithful people. The psalm is a gift for people concluding a pilgrimage. The pilgrim sings the first verse. The priest sings the remainder. The pilgrim sings the question. The priest sings the answer. The pilgrim phrases the aching question, from where will my help come? It's the question that haunts every man and every woman. And the priest braves to answer that question. Whatever strange and wonderful gifts the pilgrim may have received on the pilgrimage, there is yet one more gift to be given, and it is a gift of words. Words to take along on the journey. So, in response to the pilgrim's question, from where will my help come? The priest declares, help. Help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. God who keeps you will not slumber. God who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. This priest knows of a God who keeps. And the priest repeats that phrase, God who keeps, twice before coming to the heart of the matter, the central affirmation, the words that we are given to carry on our way, the Lord is your keeper. The words we are given, the Lord is your keeper, is that's not only the central affirmation of the psalm, they are the central, the exact mathematical center of this psalm. One biblical scholar counted it up. Don't you just love folks who do this kind of stuff? There are exactly as many syllables preceding this affirmation, the Lord is your keeper, as there are syllables that follow it. Who knew? The Lord is your keeper is the poetic fulcrum on which teeter-totter our anxieties and God's affirmations. Behind the words of the priest is the great Aaronic benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The priest had spoken that earlier in the worship of the temple, and now the priest sends the pilgrim out with the words of that benediction and a song to sing, and the name of the song is, The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your keeper, and it has been so from the very beginning of everything and anything. Help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Creator God keeps you. God who made you keeps you. Christ who called you to discipleship keeps you. The Holy Spirit who gave birth to whatever faith you have inside you, whether it be great or small, keeps you. Now your employer or your firm or your company or your agency may think they are your keeper, but they're wrong about that too. Your broker may convince you that she or he is your keeper, but if you believe that, it's a bad investment. Television commercials will persuade you that a consumer economy is your keeper and that your happiness and your well-being depend on what you can buy and own, but they're lying about that too. 1,000 self-help books will counsel you that you are your own keeper and that it is up to you and to no one else to keep yourself healthy, happy, highly effective, spiritually centered, slim, fit, and low cholesterol. But that is only more law and more bad news. Good news is what the preacher, or what the priest standing in the temple gives us to sing. The Lord is your keeper. This 121st psalm is a gospel psalm. The Lord is your keeper, and that's good news. Read all through the scriptures, read the whole Bible, and you will find no one else named as a keeper of anyone. Yogi Berra said it, you can look it up. You have David named as a keeper of the sheep. You have Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe in Josiah's court. You have Koray, keeper of the east gate when Hezekiah was king in Jerusalem. Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest when Artaxerxes ruled. And in Maccabees, you even have Hermon, the keeper of the elephants. But no one is ever called a keeper of people except the Lord. A keeper keeps what has been entrusted to the keeper's care. The job description reads, keep it, hold it, guard it, take care of it. Don't lose it or let it be damaged. Don't misplace it. Don't let it get lost in transit. Don't let it wander away on the journey. In the Gospel according to John, Jesus sounds very much like he understands himself as a keeper. So everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that God has given me, but raise it up on the last day. Nothing will be lost. Everything kept. The Lord is our keeper because we belong to God. God makes us, God calls us, God sends us, and God keeps us. The Lord keeps our words because the words we are given are God's word. I am watching over my word to perform it, God tells Jeremiah. The gospel is God's idea, not our idea, and God will keep it. The Lord keeps our work because the work we are given to do is God's work, and that work finally belongs to God. And it will not be lost. It will be kept. The Lord keeps us on the journey because the journey is God's journey. It is a journey to God and in God and through God. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord will guard your life. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in, sings the priest standing at the threshold of the temple. Like a mother wrapping up her children at the front door before they go outside in the cold, so the priest wraps this departing pilgrim in God. Wherever you go, and the journey is long. Wherever you go, the journey is difficult. Wherever you go, and the journey takes a toll on every one of us, and there is no escaping the cost. Wherever you go, God shall find you. God shall feed you. God shall sustain you. God shall encourage you. And above all, God shall keep you. Help comes from the Lord, declares the priest. And what Lord is that? The one who made heaven and earth. When the world was made, the story is told among the tribes of indigenous Australians. When the world came to be, it was sung into being by the ancient ones or their divinities. I love that image. C.S. Lewis spoke of Narnia being created by Aslan, and Aslan singing Narnia into life. Just so the native Australians understood that the ancient ones of their people created heaven and earth by singing them into existence. These songs of creation, the ancient ones taught their human creatures, and they taught their children. And the songs the ancient ones taught the people hold all things together in a great web of harmony and peace. And when you know how to sing these songs, they say, when you know how to sing these songs, you can go anywhere in the world and know where you are. You can go anywhere in the universe and you will not be lost. The 121st Psalm is a song like that. It's a song for the journey. When you know how to sing, "The Lord is my keeper," you can journey anywhere, by day or by night. You can journey, and whether you are going out or whether you are coming in, and wherever you journey, far from being lost, you will find yourself enfolded again and again in God's grace, and held always in God's safe keeping. All praise be to our God.